Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Jerry Harari and family in memory of his brother Yosef Ben Simha. Ruach Hashem Tenuhenu Began Ayadin. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Adun Ishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenuhenu Began Ayadin. Amen. We are starting on Nun Zayin Amud Bet, actually two lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a beraita. Gimel Devarim Ne'emru Be'istema. Three halachot were said regarding the istema. What was the istema? We learned yesterday, Rav taught us it was kalya feruhe. What is kalya feruhe? That was the scarf that the ladies would wear around their head in order to cover up the little hairs that would stick out of their hat. So the Gemara says three things were said regarding this halacha. Number one, en ba mishum kilayim. If it's made up of woolen linen mixture, it is not subject to the laws of sha'atnez from the Torah. Why? Because for something to be considered sha'atnez, it must be spun together. That's called tavui. That's be spun together. However, this istema is actually pressed. It just takes the fabric of woolen linen and it presses it like they make felt. And therefore, it would not be subject to the Torah. So Tosfot says, yeah, but what about maybe midrabanan? So Tosfot says, no, because this item does not provide heat for the person. So therefore, when the lady wears it, since it's hard, let's say, so it doesn't provide heat, so therefore it's not even considered shatnez, midrabanan. That's the first deen. Number two, ve'ena metame'a benegaim. It is not subject to the laws of negatzara'at, which means, for there's certain garments that if, let's say, there's a piece of leprosy on it, so you have to take it to the Kohen, get a halachic ruling on it, whether it's tamet, tahor, based on the color of it. However, this istema is not considered a beged. The only garment that's considered subject to the laws of negat sarat, it has to be a beged. This is not a beged. Why? Again, because it's not spun. And therefore, it does not have a deen of a beged. Therefore, it's not subject to the laws of negaim. Meaning, if let's say all of a sudden one morning you wake up and on this istema you see a nega, you have nothing to worry about. The law is, it will be tahor. Ve'en yotz'in ba l'rishut rabim. Nor can a lady on Shabbat wear this item in the Rishut HaRabim? The Mefarshim and the Tosefta explain it because it's not considered really a malbush. It's not considered a garment. Nor is it considered a tachshit. Nor is it considered an adornment. Therefore, it would be considered carrying. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru. In the name of Rabbi Shimon, it said, Af en ba mishum atrot kalot. Nor is this item subject to the gezerah that the rabbis made in Masechet Sotah after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. They said that ladies cannot go out with a certain type of atara, maybe you call it a tiara, or a certain type of headpiece, which was very ornate. They did that to commemorate the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So he's saying that this item over here, called the istema, that's not part of the gezerah of atarot kalot, which means a lady could wear it during the week. It's not obviously such a fancy item. I should point out that there's really a mahlokin what this item is. The aruch that's brought down into Tosafot is mashma that this item was a really fancy piece of jewelry. It was made out of gold and it had like trinkets. He says, avanim tobot. It was a hashuv item. So based on the aruch, we can understand this gemara. It's saying, but it's still not subject to the atarot kalot. It's not that very ornate type of head dressing that the rabbis forbade in Masechet Sotah. Others want to learn that, no, it's just really a regular piece of fabric. So then it's really obvious that it really should not be subject to the case of atarot kalot. So again, we saw four things regarding the istema. Let's review them quickly. Number one, it's not subject to the laws of kilayim. It's not chatnez. Number two, it's not subject to the laws of negaim. Number three, you cannot wear in the public domain on Shabbat. And number four, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, it is not subject to the law of atarot kalot. Ushmuel Amar. And now we go back. Shmuel says, Kabla de'avdatna. He argues. Yesterday we learned, what is a kabul? Kabul was one of the things that it said clearly in the Mishnah, that a lady cannot go out with it in the public domain. So yesterday we learned Kabul was what? Kippah Shel Tzemer. Was that head cap that the ladies would wear under their hat. Now Shmuel says no. It is indeed Kablah Da'avda. It's referring to the emblem that the slaves would wear on their garment in order to identify themselves that they indeed slaves. So the Gemara says, so he's arguing on Rabbi Abhu. Rabbi Abhu was the rabbi of yesterday. Did Shmuel indeed say that it's forbidden to go out on Shabbat for a person who's a slave with this emblem? Ve'amar Shmuel yotzeh ha'eved b'chotam shebatzavaro. Clearly it's permissible for the Eved to go out with the emblem around his neck, but not if the emblem is attached to his garment. It seems there was two places where they could wear the emblem, either around their neck or around or attached to their garment. But Shmuel clearly says, if it's around the neck, meaning I guess it was around the chain, it would hang from a chain around their neck, Shmuel says it's permissible. So that she says, but our Mishnah said, lo yetzeh bekabul. So therefore, make up your mind, Shmuel. How could you, you know, argue with the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, lakasha, not a question. Ha da'avad le rabbe, ha da'avad iyu le nafshe. It depends who made it. The case of the Mishnah is talking about where the Eved himself, the nafshe, made the emblem. And therefore, what's the concern? Since he made it himself, the concern is, when he's walking in the street, he might get embarrassed to show everybody that he's a slave. So what is he going to do? He'll pull the emblem off and carry it. And therefore, it's going to be a problem of carrying Rishut HaRabim. However, in a case where his master made him the emblem, he's not taking it off because he's scared. He's scared if he takes off the mask and says, hey, I gave you this emblem. What did you do with it? Where is it? So therefore, Shmuel that said the slave can go out with the emblem around his neck, that was talking about where the master made it. Since the master made it, there's no concern that he's going to pull it off. The Mishnah that said he cannot go out with the kabul is talking about where the servant himself made the emblem, and it was a concern that he might pull it off and carry it. Comes the Gemara and says, "Bemay ukimta lahad Shmuel da'avad le rabbe." Oh, how did you establish Shmuel's statement that the rabbi, that his master made it, and therefore it's permissible for him to wear it around his neck because he's not going to pull it off? So then why did Shmuel say that if it's attached to the garment, he cannot wear it? If the master made it, what do I care if it's around his neck? And what do I care if it's on his garment? Why did he say if it's on the garment, it's asur? Bottom line, he's not going to pull it off. He's scared of his master. So he says, Dilma mifsak. The concern over is we're worried it might fall off. And what's going to happen if it falls off? Umirtat. He's going to be scared, and once it falls off, that it's not there. Umekapele, and he's going to fold his talet, meaning his cloak that he's wearing. Umahit le'achetve, and he's going to place it over his shoulder. And what's the problem if he places his, he's going to put it over his shoulder, meaning to cover the spot where the emblem was, so it's not evident that the emblem is not there. And what's the problem if he takes the cloak and puts it over his shoulder in that way? That's not the normal way to wear the begad. And therefore it's going to be considered carrying the begad. So let's review. If it's wearing around his neck and his master made it, what are we worried about? We're worried that what? Nothing. There's nothing to worry about because he's not going to pull it off because he's nervous. However, and if it falls off, around his neck, there's nothing he can do. He just has to continue on his way. However, if it's on his garment, yeah, he might not pull it off because the master put it there. But if it falls off, what's going to happen? He has a way to cover it. How does he have a way to cover it? To take his cloak, to wear it in a not normal fashion, meaning by draping it over his shoulder so it drapes down over the spot where the emblem was. And now what comes out, he's carrying the garment, because he's not wearing it in the usual fashion. And therefore, Shmuel said, if it's on his kisut, on his garment, and the master made it, asur, gives it out, it might fall off, and he might cover up with the cloak. Kederav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Tamar Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Yohanan, Hayotze Betalet Mekupelet. The fellow that goes out in the public domain on Shabbat, with his cloak that is folded up, and it's resting on his shoulder, meaning in the not normal fashion, b'Shabbat chayav chatat, he's going to be liable. V'chihad amad Shmuel Rav Chanina Bar Shila, like the story that Shmuel told Rav Chanina Bar Shila, kulehu rabbanan deberesh genuta, all the rabbis that belong to the house of the exilarch of Babel, lo lifku besarbale hatime, they cannot go out with sarbale hatime. What is sarbale hatime? So that she says, hayu osin chotamot letalitot shelahen, they used to make emblems for all the members of the household of the resh galut. They would give them emblems that they would wear on their talit. Ken abadim, just like the servants would wear. La'arot shen kifufin l'resh gilutas, to show that they indeed are subjugated to the resh galut. So he said, lo lifku, do not go out with those emblems on Shabbat. Di'im ifseke, because if they fall off, mirtate u'mikaplelu, we're scared that what? That you're going to be scared, and therefore to cover up the place where the emblem was, what are you going to do? You're going to drape your talit over the shoulder to cover the spot, and therefore it's going to be considered carried. So the rabbi, for the same concern, advised the members of the Resh Galut, don't go out with that emblem, because if it falls off, you're going to come into a problem. Lebar minach. So he said, this is a Shemuel telling Rav Chanina, he says, everybody except for you, you can go out with the emblem. Why? Because they're not particular with you. It seems if Hana was a hashuv man, and therefore even if they see the emblem is off, they're not going to bother you. Therefore there's no concern that you're going to be scared to drape the talit over to cover it, because you're already special status. But everybody else cannot. So you see from this story over here what? That there's a concern with emblems, if they fall off, that they might come to wear the talit to cover that spot in a not normal fashion, if it's going to be hayab, chatat. Comes again when I continues. Gufa. We have a statement that we learned. Amar Shmuel, yotze ha'evet b'chotam shebesavaro. Again, we learned Shmuel's statement. He says that what? The evet can go out with the emblem around his neck. Avalo b'chotam shebekusoto, but not when it's on his clothes. Tanya na me'achim, we have a bright to support this. Yotze ha'evet b'chotam shebesavaro. Again, the Braita says he can go out with around his neck, but not when it's on his garment. Udminu, we have a contradiction from a Braita. Lo right away, that's the question. The question is from that first opening line. We have a Braita that clearly says you cannot go out with the Chotam, whether it's around his neck or whether it's on his garment. And that's a direct contradiction to Shmuel, the Shmuel that said he can't wear it around his neck. We'll get back to this contradiction in a second. The Gemara just wants to finish quoting the entire Braita. Ze vaze en mekabelim tum'ah. But both, whether the emblem is on his neck and the emblem is on his garment, it does not receive the subject of tum'ah, which means it's not subject to the laws of tum'ah. Why? Because for something to be considered tameh, it must either be considered a takshit. That she would be, let's say, an adornment, like a piece of jewelry, which this is not. On the contrary, it's a shame that the guy's wearing this. It's not an adornment to him. He's embarrassed that he's wearing it. Nor is it a vessel. It's in most cases, these items were made out of clay. And therefore, it's not considered a vessel. Therefore, it's not going to be subject to the laws of Tuma. Velo bezug shebesavaro. Nor can an Eved go out on Shabbat with a bell, zug, a bell that's around his neck, aval yotzeu bezug shebekesuto, but he could wear a bell if it's attached to his garment. Ze veze mekablim tuma. But regarding the bells are considered a takshit, they're considered an adornment to the slave, and therefore they will be subject to the laws of tuma. Ve'lo tetze behema. Now we go to the animals. An animal is very simple, halacha. The animal can go out with nothing. Lo bechotam shebesavara, ve'lo bechotam shebekesuta. Not with an emblem around its neck, nor an emblem around its kesut, which means sometimes the animals used to wear like a jacket around them. So you cannot attach the emblem to the jacket of the animal. Ve'lo bezug shebekesuta, nor can they wear the bell attached to their kesut, to their garment. Ve'lo bezug shebesavara, nor can they wear a bell attached to their neck. And we learned earlier the reason why the animals cannot go out in the public domain with a bell. because it looks like you're going to sell it. Because in the old days, that's the way they used to sell it, the henga. They used to put a bell on it. So therefore, the bell, by the animals, we understand. Why? Because it looks like you're going to sell it. What would be the reason why they cannot wear these emblems? So the Mefarshim will explain, because really it has no function for the animal, and therefore would be considered carrying. Meaning, it's not a takshit, obviously, nor is it considered a candy. But both the bell by the animal and both the chotam by the animal is not subject to the laws of tumah, because a bell by an animal is not considered an adornment. There's no such thing as adorning an animal with a bell, and therefore it's not going to be a takshit. And therefore, by an animal, whether it's a bell or whether it's the chotam, it's not subject to the laws of tumah. Oh, so now we go back to our question again. This braita, incidentally, will be analyzed in its place further on the daf. We just want to get to our question. What was our question? Shmuel, you told me what? That the Eved can wear the chotam around his neck. This braita clearly says he cannot wear it around his neck. So how do you reconcile? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Simple answer. Lema, let us say, had the abad lerabbeh, had the abad iyun l'nafsheh. Just like we answered above. Why don't you say, Shmuel, that allowed it around his neck is talking about where the master made it. Again, since the master made it, there's no concern that he's going to pull it off, and therefore no problem. I can say the bright that said it's forbidden, I'll say it's talking about where the guy made it himself. And therefore, what's the concern? That he might take it off. So the Gemara says, no, no, not going to give that answer. Idi v'idi de'avad le'rabbeh. I can say both the case of Shmuel and the case of the Braita is talking about where the master made it. Oh, if the master made it, so then why should the Braita say it's Asur? There's no concern that he's going to pull it off. So he says, v'kan b'shel matechet, v'kan b'shel tit. But it depends what type of emblem it is. If it's made out of metal, or it's made out of tit, which would, let's say, pottery, clay. What's the difference? If it's made out of metal, metal is considered, let's say, more hashuv, more important. True, its master made it. True, we're not concerned that he'll pull it off. Because he's not going to pull it off because he's scared of his master. But what happens if it breaks? If it breaks, since metal is hashuv, the guy will carry the metal emblem home with him to show it to his master, to give it back to his master. So therefore, on the metal emblem made by the master, asur. However, if it's made out of clay and his master made it for him, what are you concerned about? That it's going to, he's going to pull it off? He's not going to pull it off because the master made it for him. What are you concerned? That it might break? It might break. But he's not carrying home these pottery pieces over it, these shards of clay. Because the master doesn't care about these things. He doesn't want to return on those items. So therefore I can say, Shmuel that was matir is talking about the master made it, but it's out of clay. No concern. Not that you're going to pull it off, and not that if it breaks, you'll carry it home. The braita that said asur, master made it, but it's made out of metal. And what's the concern? That you're going to pull it off? No, you're not going to pull it off. But the concern is if it breaks, you might carry it home. The only question is, once already you were explaining like this, how come you couldn't learn our Mishnah like that? Which is our Mishnah that also said that they cannot go out with a kabul, cannot go out with this emblem. So we learned earlier, we reconciled and said, oh, that's Tomek because he made it himself. And therefore the concern is he might pull it off. Why don't you just say it was talking about where the master made it, and it's metal, and it might break, and it might carry it on? What did you have to give a different answer? So now she says, because in our Mishnah, it didn't specify really what type of chotam. So therefore, we'd rather interpret our Mishnah talking about all types of chotam, meaning including clay. Now, if you're going to learn the Mishnah talking about clay, and the master made it, well, that wouldn't be a problem then. Because clay, again, he's not pulling it off, and if it breaks, he's not carrying it home. So to learn the Mishnah and clay, the only way you can learn it is where he made it himself. What's the concern? That he might pull it off and carry it on. But if it breaks, you're right. In that case also, he's not going to be concerned because it's broken. But if he pulls it off, he might carry it on. So therefore, the Mishnah we had to learn what? It's talking about clay, b'denafsheh. But here, this braita, we learned it's talking about metal. Why? Because we have a reason to learn that it's talking about a metal one. What's the reason? The Gemara is going to say immediately. Comes the Gemara and says, "Uchterab Nachman Amar Abba Abu Davar Makpid Alav Rabbo," on something that the master is particularly meaning he wants it back. For example, a metal emblem in Yotzimbo, then the servant cannot go out with it on Shabbat. Davar She'en Makpid Alav, but on something, let's say like clay that the master is not particular about, Yotzimbo, can go out with it. Why? He's not pulling it off, and if it breaks, he's not carrying it on. Hachanami mistabra. I mean, you know what? It makes a lot of sense that the braita that said it's asur is talking about a metal emblem. Why? Midiketani, from the second statement of that braita. What did it say? Ze vaze en mekabelim tum'ah. Right? We said that the emblem is not mekabel tum'ah. Why? Because we said that it's not a noi, it's not a takshit, meaning it's not an adornment, it's not a piece of jewelry. Obviously it's not jewelry. I mean, the Eved is not proud to wear such a piece. It's not an adornment to him. On the contrary, she says it's a gnaifin. Nor is it considered really a keli, nor is it considered a vessel. So, which means it doesn't have a, let's say, functionality to it. So the Gemara says like this. Yes, the emblems that are made out of metal will not be considered mekabel tum'ah. Iyamar pishtum ashen matechet. If you learn that the case is talking about metal, haneu delo mekabel tum'ah. Yeah, these emblems will not mekabel tum'ah. Ha kelim didu. But other metal vessels, mekabel tum'ah. As we know, the law is metal vessels can receive tum'ah. Ela iyamar pishtum titena. But if you're going to learn that that braita is talking about clay, haneu delo mekabel tum'ah. Yeah, what are you saying? These are not mekabel tum'ah. Ha kelim didu mekabel tum'ah. Are you going to say other clay vessels are mekabel tumah? Clay vessels are not mekabel tumah if they were not placed in the furnace. How did they make clay? They would fashion the vessel first, and to harden it, they would place it in a kiln, or let's say a hot oven. Until the clay is placed in the oven, it's never mekabel tumah. Now these emblems, if they were made out of clay, they certainly were not placed in the oven to heat. So therefore, wouldn't it make sense to learn the braita talking about clay? Because what is the braita saying? And these emblems are not mekabel tumah. What? Implying what? Other clay items like this are mekabel tumah? No clay items like this are mekabel tumah. But if you learn metal, it's good. These metal emblems are not mekabel tumah. However, other metal vessels would be subject to laws of tumah. So that's a proof that the braita must be talking about metal. From what? From the statement of tum'ah. So from the tum'ah statement we deduced what it must be talking about. The Gemara says now, how could you tell me it's talking about clay? What are you going to tell me? Clay vest, the clay emblem, not mekabel tumah, but other clay items like this, yes? Impossible. Why? They had tanya, we learned to the braita. Kli abanim, that's a keli, that's vessels that are made out of stone. We'll call that stoneware. Kli galalim. Kli galalim, as she says, are vessels that are made out of dung. That they would call dungware. That's from the feces of the animal. Ukhli adama, or vessels that are made out of clay, that were not placed in the furnace. En mekabelim tum'ah. They are not subject to the laws of tum'ah. Lo medivre Torah, ve'lo medivre sofri. Not from the Torah, nor from the rabbis. Ela shma' minah shel matechet shma' minah. Must be talking about matechet. So let's review Rabotai quickly and review the subject of the Tabla da'avda, the emblems. Let's discuss the first case. Let's say the emblem is made out of pottery, and it is on his garment. Well, on his garment, all cases really, whether it's pottery or metal, is going to be forbidden. Remember, on his garment, always forbidden. Why? Because it'll fall off maybe. He might drape his talit in an unnormal fashion and carry the talit in the public domain. So on the garment, always asur, no matter what it is made, and no matter who made it. Whether he made it or the Rav made it, if you worry about it, it's going to fall off, and you're going to drape the tallit. So that's clear. That doesn't matter. Even metal, because if the metal piece falls off, he's also going to want to cover it, so it's not evident that it's not there. When we're talking about around his neck, so around his neck, it depends. If he made it himself, so then we're concerned in all cases. Why? Because he might pull it off, because he made it himself. He's not scared of his master. Whether it's clay, whether it's metal, the concern is he will pull it off. The question is, let's say it's around his neck and the master made it. Then already, it depends. If it's made out of clay, no problem. Because what are you concerned about? That he's going to pull it off? He's not pulling it off. What do you worry? It's going to break? It might break, but he's not carrying those pieces. So Gostarav is not makpid. However, if it's around his neck, and it was made by the master, and it's metal, then it's going to be asur. Why? Because you're concerned, not that he's going to pull it off, but you're concerned it might break. And if it breaks, what's going to happen? He's going to carry it home, because the master is makpid on it. So that's the summary of the law of emblems of the Abadim. Comes again when it continues. And now we're going to explain some of those other laws that were mentioned in that Braita. Comes again when it says, Amar Mor. We learned in the previous statement, anytime you see an Amar Mor, what is an Amar Mor? It quotes a previously stated statement, and it isolates it and analyzes it. So whenever you see an Amar Mor, it should be followed by a familiar statement. Amar Mor, we learned earlier, Velo Bezug Shebesavaro. We said that what? That the Eved, the servant, cannot go out with a bell around his neck. But he can wear it if it's attached to his garment. So the Gemara says, Zug shebesavaro amaylo. What's the reason why he cannot go out with a bell hanging from his neck? Gemara says, Dilma mifsak ve'atal atuye. Because we're worried the bell might break and the Eved might carry it in the public domain. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, zug shepikisuto nameli hush dilma mifsak v'atel etuye. So to say the same thing when it's attached to his garment, it might fall off, and he might come to carry it in the public domain. What should be the difference between wearing it around his neck or his garment? The Gemara says, akav b'may askinan. What are we talking about? Demiha be mumha, which means we're talking about the way that she learns it is where he stitched it in the garment, which means it's stitched tightly in the garment where there's no concern that it might fall off. That's why around his neck, asur, on his garment, mutar, uchterav, hunab, and Rabbi Yoshua. Damar, hunab, and Rabbi Yoshua, koshu, arug, anything that's stitched to the garment, no gazru. The rabbis did not make a gizirah. So the only question is, if that's the case, let's go back to this emblem. Which is, what would you say now? Let's rehash. The emblem, let's say, that was attached to the garment. We said if it's on the garment, always asur, because it might fall off. Ah, but let's say it's attached with stitching. Would that be permissible? So look at the Tosafot. Tosafot says, Hacha b'may askinan demacheh. So Tosafot says, V'im tomar, ki hechi dizug ayri b'macheh. Just like you tell me by the bell, where it's attached to the garment, it's okay. Hacha nameh ayri hotam shebikasuto b'macheh. So that's the really the same story with the emblem, it's also attached to his garment. V'imken, amai asur. Which means, how do you have it on your garment? It's attached. So why should it be asur, the emblem, if it's attached? We're not going to suspect that it's going to fall off. So the guy, he says, V'yeshtoma, dezug mutar, the bell is mutar, lefi shederich le'orgo bebeged. Because it was the normal way to sew these things on a beged. The bells, why? She'en shum beged shlo yera'u le'noi ve'tachshit. Because these bells were really an adornment. And therefore, every garment is worthy of such an adornment, and therefore it was customary to stitch these on all garments. So the rabbis didn't obligate before Shabbat to you to pull them off all your garments in order to make the garment now very plain and unappealing. However, but the emblem wasn't the derech to put this emblem on all his garments. Why? She'enu yipuya beged. Because on the contrary, it doesn't make the garment look nice. So the rabbis made a gizra, even if it's stitched on, bekesuto she'esarik lefosko, that you're going to have to pull it off. Ad tuheka she'en arug. Gezerah to a case where it's not stitched on, which means since the bell, it was very customary to have it stitched on because it's going to dorm into the garment, so the rabbis were lenient. Look at that now. Before Shabbat, the guy's going to have to go to every single one of his garments and pull off these bells over here. That's too much of a strictness. Especially now that without the bell, the garment now is very plain looking. So therefore, they said, you know, if it's stitched, the bell is okay. But by the emblem, first of all, it's not an adornment to the garment. And you don't put these on all garments. You only put it on one. And even on the one you put it on, you're not too happy that it's there in the first place. So the rabbi said, you know what? A stitched emblem, take it off. It's not such a tirha. How many garments you're taking it off of? One. Why? Gezerah. That if we let you wear it when it's stitched, you might come to wear when it's not stitched onto the garment. And therefore, that's definitely going to be a problem because it might fall off. So come that there's a stringency by the emblem over the bell. The bell, if it's stitched, it's okay. However, the chotam weave, if it's stitched, as it says, is going to be asur. Comes the Gemara further. Amar Mor. Okay, what is an Amar Mor? We're going to take a previously stated statement and we're going to isolate and analyze it. Lo tetze behema. The animal cannot go out. Lo bechotam shebasavara. Not with the emblem that's around its neck. Velo bechotam shebekesuta. Nor with the chotam that is around its garment. Either way is a suit. Velo bezug shebesavara. Nor can it go out with the bell that's around its neck. Velo bezug shebekesuta. So technically the animal cannot go out with anything. Ze beze emekablim tuma. And the Gemara says not the chotam of the animal, and not the bell of the animal is mekabel tumah. These are not considered adornments. I mean, a bell is not considered an adornment for the animal. Therefore, it's not a tachshit. Therefore, it's not going to be considered mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, "Vizug de behema, em mekablim tumah." Oh, you're telling me that the bell that the animal wears is not mekabel tumah? I'll bring you a contradiction. What do you mean? Oh, we have a contradiction. Zug shel behema tameh. Bingo. The bell that the animal wears is subject to tum'ah. Now, let's just finish the braita. The question is from that statement, but we'll just continue the braita. V'shel delet tahor. But if it's a bell of a door, it's tahor. It cannot be subject to tum'ah. What is a bell of a door? You can imagine, you have a door, and they used to place a bell on the back of it, let's say, in order when they open the door up, it chimes, so that people would know somebody's coming. Why is it tahor? Because the door is attached to the house. And the house is considered karka. And we have a law. Anything that's attached to the ground is not mekabel tum'ah. And since the bell is an accessory to the door, it becomes batel to the door, that's batel to the house, and therefore it is considered tahor. So that's the door item. Now the Baraita gives one more case. Sheldelet. Let's say you took the bell of the door. The bell of the door is tahor. It's karka. Va'asa'ola behema. And you designated it, you said, you know what? I'm using it for my animal now. As a matter of fact, even went further. You took it off the door, and you placed it around the animal's neck. So the Gemara says, tameh. That's it. Once already, the law is, for something to become tameh, or to be able to receive or susceptible to tumah, all you need is a mahshava. All you need is a thought. Which means, once already in your mind, you say, you know what, this door bell, I'm now designating it for the animal, bingo. Now already it's susceptible to tumah. But the other way, shel behema, let's say it was the animal bell. The animal bell we're saying now is susceptible to tumah, right? Va'asa'o ledelet, and then you want to say, you know what, I'm designating it now for the door. Even if you attached it to the door, and you banged it with nails into the door, tameh. It remains tameh. Why? Because it's a very important rule by the laws of tumah. And the Gemara tells us the rule. Shekol akelim, all vessels, yordim lidei tum'atam, could go down to become susceptible to tumah, b'machshava. Which means to become tameh, all you need is a thought. For example, to take a bell that used to be a doorbell, which is tahor, to get it to be susceptible to tumah, all you got to do is say, you know what? I am designating it now for the animal. Finish. Designation alone brings it down to tumah. Now once it's tameh, to bring it back to tahara, not enough to make a thought. There you have to do an action. You have to change the
vessel, you have to break it, put it back together again. Ve'en olin mideh tum'atan, but it cannot come out of its tum'ah susceptibility state, ela b'shinui ma'aseh. Then you have to actually make a change in the item. By placing the bell on the door, that's not making a change in the item. It's the same bell. By hammering it in, that's not making a change in the item. The only way to take it from tum'ah to tahara, you gotta either break the bell, take it apart, and put it back together again. So yeah, let's review the law of tum'ah again. Clearly the Gemara is saying, the bell of the animal, tameh. A bell of a door, tahor. Going from a door, which is tahor, to the animal, is enough with mahshava. This designation alone, it makes it tameh. Going from the animal to the door, which is tameh to tahor, not enough to place it on the door. It's going to remain tameh or susceptible to tumah. Until when? Until you do a ma'aseh to the actual bell itself. Not just hanging around the door, it's not a ma'aseh into the bell. You actually have to take it apart. But let's go back to our question. Our question, what's the matter, Diao?
Let's say you have the bell, you attach it to the door in a permanent manner. You didn't change it, you didn't sell the
house. Doesn't matter, no, that's so selling the house.
Even the bell. The bell has to be changed. No, but let's say you even sold the house, the bell is still on the
door.
Doesn't matter, it doesn't go to the owner.
You gotta tell them. What does that mean? In the lease when you're selling the house, you gotta tell them, be careful with that bell. Yeah, exactly.
Bell is the top one.
That's not it, because we didn't make a shinui ma'aseh.
That's not a shinui ma'aseh,
exactly. Comes the Gemara now, we had a question. What was the Gemara's question? You just told me in the Braita that a bell of an animal is not mikabel tum'ah. But now we clearly have statements over there that tell me it is. How do you reconcile? So the Gemara says, la kasha, no question. Had the itla anbal, had the leta anbal. Depends if the bell has a clapper or not. What's the clapper? That's that little metal piece that hangs in the bell that, you know, makes a chime, that dings back and forth. That's called an inbal. Now let's analyze. If it has an inbal, then the Gemara is saying that's considered a vessel, and therefore that's going to be subject to the laws of tum'ah. But if it's a bell, just with the outside piece, without the clapper inside, without the inbal, it's not going to be mekabel tum'ah. That's how we can reconcile. The Gemara says, hold it. Manavshach. Imana hava. If you're considering it an adornment, meaning the slave wears this item, right? If you're considering it a takshit, what do I care if it has the clapper in it? Bottom line, we care about the outside of it, which means if he's wearing it as an adornment, so therefore whether it has an inbal or not should not make a difference to the laws of tum'ah, which means it's not the chiming that makes it an adornment, it's the actual the bell itself. The ilav manahu, and if you're telling me that it's not an adornment, in bal mashveh mana, what the clapper is going to turn it into a keli, which means the Gemara is really asking, what does the clapper do over here? If it's considered a takshit, if it's considered a piece of jewelry, for example, whether it has an imbal or not, it's going to be considered tameh. And he's saying if it's not considered, let's say, a keli. So what am I kidding? Inbal is really not going to change anything. So the Gemara says, no, the inbal does change something. It does. Kedrabi Shmuel ben Nachmani amar v'yonatan. Amar v'Shmuel ben Nachmani amar v'yonatan. Minayim l'mashmiya kol. How do we know that an item that makes noise, mashmiya kol, let's say like a bell. A bell makes noise. Bechli matechot, a metal one. Shutameh. So how do we know that a bell that makes noise, which obviously has a clapper, it has the end bell. How do we know that it's subject to the laws of tumah? Shene emar kol davar asher yavo ba'esh ta'amiru ba'esh. Any item that goes into the fire, that's used with fire, should be purified through fire. Now the way the Torah says this pasuk is kol davar. What does davar mean? So the Gemara, any item. So the Gemara learned that this word davar is extra. Afilu dibur, even something that makes sound. Dibur is like noise. Anything that makes noise, yavo ba'esh, will go into the fire. Now, what is this pasuk talking about? This pasuk actually was talking about when the Jewish people came back from the war of Midian. They took vessels that were used for cooking, they took it as spoils. Now they have a pot that the Midianim used to cook hazir in it. How are they going to eat from this pot? They have to make hagadah. They have to kosher it. So the Torah there in this pasuk gave us the laws of koshering pots from their from the taref that's inside. So what's the rule? If it's used on the fire, let's say roasting, then the only way to get the taref out is sticking it through the fire. Now, what in the world does a pasuk of Hag'alat Kelim have to do with the laws of Tum'ah? That's not a law. The law of Tum'ah is talking about if, let's say, a met touches it or a sheretz touches it. This pasuk over here really has no bearings to the laws of Tum'ah. Hag'alat Kelim is not Tum'ah, it's just koshering pots. So Tosfot says, you're right. But the end of that pasuk talks about the laws of Kelim that are ritually Tameh. And since we have this word called dabar, well, bells, we're learning dibur, right? So that makes noise. Well, a bell obviously does not need hagala. There's no reason why you have to, you know, dip a bell in boiling hot water. No one's eating from a bell. So since we know it's talking about a bell because it says dabar, so instead of learning that law by hagala, we'll apply the law of the bell to the end of that pasuk that was referring to the laws of tum'ah. And therefore, what are we going to say? Anything that's mashmiyah called kol dabar, meaning anything that's dibur, that makes noise, is subject to laws of... Now, it only makes noise, the bell, when it has the clapper in it, the inbal. Therefore, what do we prove, Rabotai? That when it has an inbal, it indeed becomes a keli to become subject to the laws of tumah. And if it doesn't, it's not going to be subject to the laws of tumah. That's how we'll reconcile the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says... B'mayo kimta. How are you learning that braita? B'delet le'inbal? Right, the braita that said that the zug is not mekabel tum'ah. Let's review, gentlemen. We had the braita, original braita, the long braita on the Amud Rishon. Clearly said that a zug is not mekabel tum'ah. And how are we learning it? It's talking about a bell without an inbal. So the Gemara says, is that how you're going to establish it? Ema mitziata. You're going to have a problem with the middle case. What's the middle case? Velo bezug shebesavaro. The slave, not the animal. The slave, we said, cannot go out with a bell around his neck. Aval yotzeu bezug shebekesuto. But the slave can wear it when it's attached to his garment. We learned early because it's sold. But we clearly said that what? Regarding the bell that the Eved wears, both bells are mekabel tumah. If you tell me that Braita is talking about bells that don't have clappers, because that's the way we explained the end of the Braita. When the Braita talked about the bells of the animal, we said it's not mekabel tumah. Why? Because there's no clapper. So then we must assume that the whole Braita, when it talked about bells, it's talking about bells without inbal. So therefore, why by the Eved did you say that the bells are mekabel tumah if there's no inbal? Mi mekabel tumah? Are they going to mekabel tumah if they don't have a inbal? Urminu, we have a question on this. Ha'oseh zagin l'machteshet. Listen to this Braita, an interesting Braita. A guy makes bells and he attaches it to his mortar. Mortar is the item that used to crush spices. Why would he attach a bell to that item? It's because the Gemara says that hakol yafeh lebesamim, that there's a certain inyan that when you're crushing spices, if the spices hear noise, it's beneficial to the spices. It's like a spiritual item. So what? They would attach bells to the mortar, so when they're grinding the spices, what do you hear? Ding, 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 ding. That'll, we say that in the Ketoret every day. Noise is good for the besamim. So a guy that attaches a bell to the mortar, ul'arisa, or let's say attaches a bell to a cradle. Why would he attach it to the cradle of the baby? He wants to, you know, to get the baby to go to sleep, so he rocks the cradle, the bell makes a noise. Ul'mit pahat, Sefarim, but Tahat Sefarim would be what? As she says, that would be the bell that they used to call the kids to school with. It seems in the school, they would have, let's say, a certain bell, and they would bang the... Huh?
For the scrolls. close.
Oh, I'm reading Rashi. Mitpachat Sefarim, kishenosim otam lebet haKnesset, when they take them to the bet Knesset, to the synagogue, shetinokot shlebet man korin sham. Right? Mekaskesina zagim, vatinokot shemaim ubaim. It says the children would hear the bell, and it signaled them to come to school. That's called mitpachat Sefarim. Ul mitpachat tinokot. Tinokot, it seems they would put a bell around their neck. And maybe like a, you know, to track them, to know exactly where they are. Yeah. All these bells over here, what does the Gemara say? Yesh lahem inbal, if they have the clapper, timi'in. En lahem inbal, teorim. So you see clearly that with a clapper, it's tameh, without that. So how did you tell me then in the Braita? You told me we're talking about en lahem inbal. That's why by the behemah, you told me, but then by the Avid you told me, no Inbal, and it is Mekabel Tuma. What do you mean? We clearly know that without an Inbal it's not. Now, the Gemara finishes this statement before we get to the resolution. Nitlu Inbalehin. Let's say the Inbal came out. Let's take a case. You had a regular bell. Mekabel Tuma? Yeah. What happened now? You took the Inbal out. Adayin tum atan alehin. Still, it still maintains its tum'ah. And we have to see why that's so. Why should that be? I mean, seemingly, it broke. Which is, once you take the inbal out, finish, it broke. Why should it retain it? That we'll see in a moment. But let's get back to our question. Here we're clearly seeing, Rabotai, that a bell without an inbal is tahor. You know what the Gemara answers? Hani mile betinok. Yeah, because what are we talking about over here? A bell that's made for the kids. For example, on his cradle. Let's take that case, right? Delekala avidile. Because the whole purpose for the bell of the kid is what? To make the noise. Either to put him to sleep in the cradle or to track him when he's wearing it around his neck. Therefore, for a child without the clapper in it, it's purposeless. Therefore, it's not considered a keli. Therefore, it's considered tahor. Aval gadol? But for a gadol, for an adult, tachshitu, it's an adornment. Even though it does not have an inbal in it. Therefore, when it comes to an eved that's wearing it, let's say, on his garment, it's going to receive tum'ah. What do you mean, no inbal? It doesn't need an inbal. For a human being, even without the clapper, it's considered a piece of jewelry. And therefore has the laws of tum'ah. By the animal, when it doesn't have an inbal, tahor, because there's no jewelry to an animal. There's no adornment to an animal. However, for a child, it has to have an inbal in it. Why? Because it's made for what? Noise. That's not a tachshit for the kid. The reason why they're putting it around the kid is to call him to school, to put him to sleep, or to track him. Therefore, there's three laws over here. There's the tinok, there's the adult, and then there's the behemah. By a tinok, it's got to have an inbal to be considered susceptible to tum'ah, and without it, tahor. Why? Because the main functionality of a zug, of a bell, for a child is what? The noise. For an adult, even if it doesn't have an inbal in it, tameh. Why? Because the purpose of the inbal, for the zug of the adult is what? Tachshit. It's a tachshit regardless of the inbal or not. For a behemah, well, behemah, it's not for tachshit. And therefore, the only way it's going to be tameh if it has the clapper in it. But if not, nah. That's exactly fits in perfect with the braita. One last point in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Mor. Again, we're going to take a statement that we just learned. Nitlu and balehen. If let's say the clapper came out of the bell, adayin tum'atan alehim. It still maintains tum'ah. Which means, let's say it was tameh the bell. Now the clapper came out, it's still tameh. So the Gemara says, Lemai hazeh. What do you mean? What is it worth? You're telling me that, let's say these things were for the kids. The whole purpose was what? To make noise. Once the clapper comes out, it's functionless. So it should be tahor. It's like a broken keli. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Abaye, hu'il shahidyot yakol lahaziro. Since it's easy to put the clapper back, you don't need a professional to readjust this bell. So Abaye is giving you a rule. It's not considered broken. Since it's very easy, you just take the clap and you click it back in. Any guy, any common guy could do it. That's not considered a broke. And therefore, it still maintains its status of Tum'ah. So comes the Gemara and says, hold it, can't be. Mativ Rava. Rava comes along and asks a question. Hazug. Zug is the bell. Va'inbal. And the inbal, the clapper. Hibur. What does hibur mean, Rabotai? It's considered attached. What do you mean it's considered? Of course it's attached. Meaning like this. Since it's considered attached, it's considered one vessel. Practical halakha that comes out of this. Let's say tum'at touched the outside of the bell. The whole piece becomes tameh, even the clapper that's inside. Okay. Why? Because it's hibur. It's considered one piece. Let's read that in Nashid Abotai. Hazug va'inbal hibur. Get this statement, important statement. Kishehen yahad. When they're attached, harein keli echad. It's one vessel. Nitmazeh. Right? If one part becomes tameh, the whole thing becomes tameh. Hiza al zeh tahor zeh. Let's say it became tameh. Now you need to sprinkle it with the waters of the Parah Aduma. Let's say, for argument's sake, the waters of the Parah Aduma, when you were trying to make this tahor now, only touched the clapper. What's the deen? The whole bell is tahor. Just like for tum'ah, one part of it is considered the whole keli. So too for tahara, one part of it is considered all keli. Now continue. V'cheban dekari lehibur. But Rabbah went out of his way to say, this inbal with the zug is hibur. It's considered attached. Shma'mina, what do we learn from there? Dechinit pardu, that if let's say they came apart, havi klishini tal miksato, it would be considered like a vessel that part of it was taken away, part of it broke. I don't care if a commoner could reattach it. As long as he didn't put it back, it's not a complete vessel. Which means the law is that if you have a complete vessel, like this case of the bell, how do we know it's a complete vessel? Because Rabbi clearly said, Hibur. It's all considered one vessel. The inbal and the zug. If it breaks, if this zug comes out, that's considered a vessel that broke. Meaning it's not a complete vessel anymore. Once it's not a complete vessel, I don't care if a commoner could reattach it. Bottom line, it's broken. So then, why did you tell me if the inbal comes off, it's still tameh? What do you mean? It's a broken vessel. This comes again, what Aaron says. V'chi tema, maybe you'll tell me, hachi ka'amar. Maybe this is what Abba meant when he said hibur. Afagav de lo mehaber, keman de mehubar dame. Maybe he meant to say like this. You know when Rabba said it's considered one vessel? He meant to say, even if it's detached, it's considered attached. Maybe that's what he meant. Meaning, even when the inbal is separate from the zug, Rabba came along and said, hibur. What's a hibur? Even in that state, when they're apart, it's considered one. Oh, then that fits in. That's why it's still be considered tameh, because even when it's detached, there's a status of attached. Now you're reading into his words. I mean, that's he didn't say it. He really said hibur. The normal way of understanding that statement is when it's attached, it's considered one. We're saying no. Maybe we could just to give an answer. Maybe it means even when it's detached, it's considered one, and therefore it's still considered tameh. Come on, you can't say that. You can't say that. Why? Because we have another statement. Give what I said. That. What does it say there? Yes, Natanya. Masporet shel perakim. What's a masporet shel perakim? That's a scissors that's made out of components. That would be like the kitchen scissors that we have, where you know you click it, one blade into another blade, right? It's called masporet shel perakim. A scissors made out of components, two sections. The Ismail shel raitani. Ismail would be the blade of a raitani, a carpenter. The carpenters also, they have their blade, they place it in a plane, it's called. And therefore, it's two pieces. You have the blade and the plane itself. The handle. Okay? So the Gemara says, Hibur letum'ah. Listen to the law. It's considered Hibur, these items are attached, meaning the scissors. Let's take one case. The scissors for tumah. What does that mean? It's himud the tumah. If one blade becomes tamer, the whole scissors is tamer. The in hibur la hazaa, but it's not considered hibur for hazaa. Interesting. If the scissors became tamer, and you sprinkled one blade, the other blade does not become tahor. Now that's strange. If it's attached, it should be attached for everything. If it's not attached, it shouldn't be attached for anything. Actually, we had this Gemara earlier, Rabotai. The Gemara says, "Man nafshach." Which way you're looking at it? Ihiburu. If you're considering it attached, afidu lahazaname. Even for sprinkling, it should be considered one. The ilav hiburu. If you tell me it's not attached, afidu l'tumanamelo. Then even for tumah should not be considered attached. You can't split the ticket. So the Gemara says, you know what? Abba explained it. Devar Torah. From Torah law, Bishat Melacha Hibur. At the time that you're working with the scissors, meaning where you want it to be together because you need it to cut, let's say, that's called Bishat Melacha. At the time that you're working, where you're concerned that what? It's attached. You want it to be attached. Then what? Hibur ben Netum'ah ben Nahaza'ah. It's going to be considered one. For the laws of Tum'ah and for the laws of Hazah. That's the law of the Torah. Shelo b'sha'at melacha. And when, let's say, you put the scissors down, where you don't need it anymore, then you're really not too concerned then about the attachment of it, because you're not working with it. Enu chibur. Then we're going to consider it not one, lo le Tum'ah ve lo le Hazah. That's a Torah law. Only when is it considered one? When you're working with it, because you want it to be one. And it'd be one for everything. For Tum'ah and for Hazah. When do we say it's not chibur when you put it down, meaning when you're not working with it? Ah, v'gazru al tum'ah shelo b'sha'at melacha. But the rabbis came along and said that tum'ah shelo b'sha'at melacha. Now again, from the Torah law, let's say it's shelo b'sha'at melacha. What should the law be? It's not considered attached. Therefore, if one part becomes tamir, the other one should not be affected. However, the rabbis came along and said it does. Why? Mishum tumashi bishat melacha. Gezerat in the case of when it's bishat melacha, it's considered one. Val hazaashi bishat melacha. What's the din of hazaa bishat melacha? Bishat melacha is considered one. Therefore, if you made hazaa on
one,
both are covered, right? But the rabbis made a gezerah that what? You're going to have to make hazaa on both. Why? Mishum hazaa shelo bishat melacha. Gezerah to the case of shelo bishat melacha that it's really considered not one. So what does this prove to me, Rabotai? Where we're finishing the Gemara, this is where we're stopping today. What does this prove to me? Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Shelo b'sha'at melacha. Please, let's read Rashi together. Ho'il ve'en tzirichim liyot mechubarim. Since when you're not using it, you don't really care for them to be together. Havilu kishne kelim. It's considered as two vessels. Ve'en chibur. Da'afa pishe mechubarim. Even though they are physically attached, but since I don't need it, they consider two vessels. Val ta'an korhat shlo b'sha'at melacha, tumiyad b'sha'at melacha kamar. Which means when it says sha'at melacha, rabotai, obviously the scissors is attached. Shelo b'sha'at melacha also means the scissor is attached. So whenever we talk about laws of hibur, we're always talking about where it's attached. We wanted to say, maybe Rabbah meant to say earlier, that there's Hibur means when it's detached, it's considered that. No. The law of Hibur is only Bishat Melacha, for sure it's considered Hibur. Shelo Bishat Melacha, when you're not working it, but the thing is attached to it. It's still the same scenario, it's just considered, since you're not working with it, it's still considered Hibur. And therefore, what did Rabbah's statement, when Rabbah said, Rabbah's earlier statement was, Hazug Vain Bal Hibur. You know what he meant to say? Regarding the laws of Tum'ah, Zug and Enbal are always considered one. Whether it's being used or whether it's not being used, it's always considered Hibur. Meaning that if one part becomes Tameh, the whole thing will become Tameh. We're always talking about what? When it is attached. So now we have a question. You just told me that if you have a bell, it's the Braita, and the inbal came out, and the inbal came out, and the clapper came out. So what was the din in the Braita? The Braita was the tum'ah remains. Why should the tum'ah remain?
It's detached.
It's detached. The only law of tum'ah remaining, we said, was what? When it's attached. Even shelo b'sha'at melacha. Okay, because it's attached. But when it's detached, why should it become, why should it retain its tum'ah status? Again, which means, again, I'm going to review this outside one more time. It's one more minute, I'll review it outside again just for sake of clarity. We had a braita. The braita said, you have an zug with an inbal. The zug came out, it's still tameh. Hidush. Separate, still tameh. So, Gemara, what are you talking about? Rabba made a clear statement that what? Only when things are mihubar, only when things are attached. For example, the zug and the inbal are only tameh when it's attached, implying what? Once it's detached, it's tameh. And don't tell me what he meant that it's attached means even when it's detached, it's considered attached. That can't be. Because we have a clear statement that says that bishat melacha v'day tameh min haTorah is considered attached. And even shalom bishat melacha, when it's attached, we'll still consider it once. But if it's detached, for sure it should be considered tahor. How did the Braita then say when it's detached, it's still considered tameh? That's the question that we remain in. And tomorrow's daf, Bezat Hashem, we will review this point in the beginning and then go further to see the reconciliation of this answer. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.